Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Newlywedcast. I'm Robert Allen, and today joining me are newlyweds married on September 10th, Lisa and Matt. Guys, thanks you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
So how's married life treating you?
Very good.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Can't complain.
Good. We always like to kind of start things out by hearing about how you met. So why don't you share that with us?
Well, we met in law school. He was that kid that sat next to me in my real estate class. And we just started talking throughout class, talking more than learning, and it kind of just went from there. You know, he and I just really bonded in class, and that was it.
Definitely started out as a friendship. I think she was involved with someone at the time. I wasn't really looking for a relationship at the time, and just so happened that a break occurred from school, and the two of us found time to spend with each other away from school, and here we are.
I think it was pretty much every day thereafter.
Yes.
Cool. Now, how long did you date before you got engaged?
It was definitely quick. We I think, moved in together.
After dating about 2 months.
After about 2 months of dating. And then how long did we date before the engagement?
Maybe it was about a year.
About a year.
Okay. And so you knew right away, absolutely. Basically.
We knew right. As soon as I was free from my previous relationship and, you know, it had been a couple of months, I called him, actually, persistently for a couple of months.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, a couple of weeks. A couple of phone calls, a couple of funny messages. Finally called me back. We went on one date, purely platonic.
Yep.
And then the next day, he's like, what are you doing tomorrow?
Purely non-platonic.
Purely not platonic. And then it was really from there. And then we went on vacation together after a month. And we moved in after 2 months. And it was not even a hesitation, not even a doubt.
Wow.
And I would say that it was the type of relationship from the beginning where I think I knew that it was going to be something more serious. And so that was sort of a reason to cause maybe a little concern at the beginning. You know, do I want to get into this? This is not a girl who is.
So it felt different from the start.
It felt very different.
Well, I guess that's what, you know, when people say, when you know it, you know it.
I
kind of knew
it.
We both definitely knew it.
Good. Talk a little bit about the proposal itself.
Lisa, would you like to?
I was a bridesmaid for my best friend Monica's wedding, and I had to spend a night out on Long Island at her house, and all the bridesmaids were there. It was like a big deal. And he was alone. For the first time.
That was the first good thing she did there.
Yeah.
Leaving me alone.
I left him alone for one night, and he was not happy, apparently.
I realized.
And so my mom and my sister were at the wedding, and apparently they knew the whole time he was about to propose after the wedding. They didn't mention a thing to me. That nothing led me on, nothing out of the ordinary. Their wedding was at the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens.
Uh-huh.
So it was a little bit of a drive home. We even had to drop someone else off. So he must have been sweating bullets
definitely nervous the entire night.
And then it was the day before Mother's Day. It was the night of May 13th. So it was after midnight. It was May 14th, Mother's Day. And he's like, okay, you know, our dog Maggie has a gift for you when we get home.
And this was like after midnight. This was in the early morning hours.
Early, we just got back.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, you know, Maggie has a gift for you. I'm thinking it's like a T-shirt with her picture on it, or it's like a mug or a keychain, like a $10 token gift. So I'm like, okay, great. You know, I'm so excited about my little token gift. He's like, okay, sit down in this chair in our living room. We both changed. We were in our sweats. He says, sit down here and close your eyes. So excited. He goes into the bedroom and he comes out and I open my eyes and he's kneeling on the ground. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, he's
didn't really
I'm sitting down in the chair and he's kneeling. So I'm like, okay, that's okay. So and then he brings out a ring box and I was like, this probably isn't from Maggie anymore. And then I started to freak out and I was like, and he opened it and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this right now. Is this really happening? Are you doing this right now? Right now? Is it happening now?
It was such a wonderful moment.
And then I looked at the ring and I said, yes. And
it couldn't have gone any more smoothly. It was perfect.
It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. It was late, and I think we called my friend Monica and her new husband, who were waiting to catch a flight to Mexico to go on their honeymoon. And I mean, who else was awake at that hour? And they flipped out. Monica and Jay flipped out when they heard the news. They were beside themselves. So
that's great.
It was a fun night.
So now, you said you know this. Obviously, you were totally surprised at the moment.
100%. We had just had a conversation about how we weren't ready, like a month before. And it was completely out of the blue, but I had been ready that month before.
Good. I like when brides are totally taken by surprise. And I have to commend you, Matt, for going the whole night.
Yes.
And knowing that this was coming.
This was definitely...
You know, I think most men would like to propose first thing in the morning.
Yep, just get it over with.
That, because I know that is, you know...
Nerve-wracking,
you know.
He didn't break a sweat. He was...
To the 10th.
He was not... None of his behaviors were out of the ordinary. Because he, you know, he owns his own business. So for him to be preoccupied for a couple of minutes here and there is...
You wouldn't have picked up on it.
I mean, it was just, that's just not out of the ordinary.
Good.
It's just the way he is.
I like successful engagement stories like that. So now you've got the ring, you said yes, and what was the first thing you did for the wedding itself, for planning the wedding?
Before or after I freaked out about, oh my God, I have to plan a wedding right now. The first thing we did, I guess, was discuss when, because the first thing that was important to us was to have it in a warm environment. We didn't want it in the winter. We didn't want it to be cold. We wanted it to be warm.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of, for a week or two, I think we did nothing because it was like, okay, cool, we're engaged, you know. Now what?
Let it sink in a
yeah.
little bit.
And then the first thing we did was discuss, well, our first intention, we wanted to do it on a beach in Bermuda, barefoot, you know, linen suits and orchids in our hair and very, very down to earth. And then that wasn't really possible because of the family members we wanted to have there. My grandfather was a very important part of the ceremony, and he doesn't fly. So Bermuda was out. And then we discussed other locations more locally, and then it just kind of played itself out until the first thing we did was we picked our location, and that was Tavern on the Green.
And did that speak to you in a certain way? I mean, it's such a landmark location.
Well,
is that kind of what you envisioned?
Definitely.
If you were going to have it here?
If we couldn't be barefoot on the beach,
right.
We wanted to at least be local and have it in a place that really commemorated our relationship and our lives and whatnot. You know, Matt was born and raised in Manhattan. We live in the city here, so...
We also felt that by going to Tavern on the Green, which was, you know, an institution, a New York institution, we knew that it wasn't going to be a venue that would be gone 10 years from
right.
now. So we would always be able to relive to a certain extent the experience by going back and having a meal there and going to the room
and
driving past it when you go through Central Park and all those things. So that was very important to us as well.
And we also wanted to have our dog there, our dog Maggie.
Okay.
And having it at Tavern on the Green meant that she could kind of come and go from the wedding and be a part of it as if, you know, and opposed to as if we had it on a beach somewhere, how would we get her there? And it would just be very difficult.
Right.
So this made it easy for everyone
right,
to
right.
be there.
And Tavern on the Green is, you know, is, of course, you know, for those listeners that are out of the New York area, in Central Park.
It's an institution.
And, you know, everyone who comes to New York wants to see Tavern on the Green, if not drive past it, stop in and have a cocktail. But, it, you know, did you take advantage, you know, during the wedding of it being in Central Park?
Yes. For several hours prior to the wedding, we went throughout the park, took pictures on some of the rocks. Actually, the day of our wedding was one of the breast cancer race, the breast cancer walk.
Uh-huh.
And when we were taking our pictures, you had hundreds and hundreds of runners, you know, running and walking by saying, congratulations, congratulations.
It looks so beautiful.
And I was thank you, good luck. And it was so nice to have that tie into the city as a part of our wedding memory. It was really nice.
It made us feel that, in a way, it really was New York.
It was New York at its best that day.
A part of our wedding, at
right,
least the
right.
Lead up to it. It was
right. Cool. And that is, you know, so cool and you know, I'm sure it happens in other parts of the world, other parts of the country, but when you're in New York City as a bride and a groom, you're an instant celebrity. Tourists stop and take pictures of you.
Yes, they did.
And,
we had many pictures taken.
You know, the double-decker tour buses suddenly stop. And I always wondered, you know, it's like, what are they going to do with these pictures?
I don't know.
Strange couples, you know, that, you know, and taking pictures, but it's such a phenomenon. And I've
exactly.
done so many weddings over the years where, you know, groups of Japanese tourists or German tourists will stop
exactly
and in mass start taking pictures.
And, you know, I think it's such a cultural commonality that any person, you know, can appreciate that's the most special day for
right.
two people. And so, like you say, they take the picture like you're a celebrity. They must get home and say,
We don't even know their names.
Oh, well, we'll hope they had a nice day.
Right, right, yeah, but it's very cool, and I think that's really, you know, makes it even more special.
Absolutely.
So then you picked your location, you're totally comfortable, excited about that, and then you kind of got into the nitty-gritty of
right.
stuff, all the littler pieces. Where did you proceed from there?
Well, what actually happened very, very quickly after we chose the place and, of course, the date, we actually changed the date once because of a particular New York football team. I think if you've heard of the Giants.
The Giants.
I happen to be a diehard New York Giants
fan. So we actually had to change the date. So that was, you know, the second thing.
Because of a game?
Yes, to be able to watch the game and not miss the first couple games of the season.
Okay,
with the
I
honeymoon.
Can understand that.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Because you would have been away for, you know, a number of weeks and then plus leading up to it.
He watched the Giant game on our honeymoon.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
I'm not so
bothered. In Hawaii.
So the next thing I did was I said, okay, I need a dress. Because the date was, we only had 4 months. And I said to myself, wow, well, my friend Monica got married and her dress took about 6 months. And I have 4 months, so I better get started. So I heard about a sample sale. And this was actually the best piece of advice I can give really to any bride is go to the bridal sample sales. Everyone says, oh, no, you don't find anything. You're there. No, you don't get anything. I found my dress there. And I found it the first place I looked, the third dress I tried on, that was my dress. That is the best advice I can give to anybody is go to the sample sales for the bridal dresses.
And I obviously wasn't there to pick out the dress with Lisa, but I think the same thing occurred, if I'm not mistaken, when you were there. I mean, everyone was involved in, oh, you look so beautiful.
Yes.
That's your dress. I mean,
it's exactly what happened.
It became, you know, something that you could share with the with everyone there.
Right. It was at Saks, actually. It was a Saks sample sale, and I went there, and I looked through gym dresses. I tried on, like, 20 dresses, but the third dress I tried on, when I came out of the dressing room, all the saleswomen were like, that's your dress. They were like, "That do you feel like it's your dress? It's your dress." And it didn't feel like my dress, to be quite honest. So I was like, well, it's nice, and it's white, and it's big, and it feels great. And, but I didn't know, and it was everyone's reaction around me that made me feel like, okay, this is it. And then, so that was... We got the place, we got the date, and we got the dress. I mean, and it was a big deal to get the dress.
Off to a good start.
Yeah, because that's, you know, certainly the dress is something that needs lead time in most cases.
Well, the
you know, it's not like a tuxedo
sale.
That you can get on Wednesday
right,
and get
exactly.
married on Saturday.
Exactly. We definitely have it easier than the females in the
right,
support.
Right.
It was funny, actually. I had to call his parents to come down and look at the dress. They live in the city. And my mother, who lives on Long Island, actually it took her 2 hours to get in. And I waited with my dress at the store.
Oh, so you didn't make the purchase until all the votes were in.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was discounted significantly, but it
so
was
so did
still
you expect to just go to the sample sales just to kind of check things out? You had no idea that
no
you
idea.
Were going to... Because had you thought that you would even be making a decision, you would have brought those decision makers with you.
Of course. I thought, oh, just go try on some
just
dresses.
Go look.
Get me some ideas. Get me started. But I found it. Third dress I tried on.
So and the first place you went to?
First place, first store. It was
wow.
not.
A lot of women are envying you. I tell you that because it's not always that easy of a.
It's not, especially because the sample dresses only really come in like two sizes, so you have to fit
right.
in those sizes or
right.
get you know or be smaller. But if you're bigger than those sizes, it's you know. Not that it's not going to work
easy.
Out.
Sure, sure.
So
sure.
I was lucky.
Good, good. So you were glad you did that.
I was.
The ceremony. Talk a little bit about the ceremony.
We had an outdoor ceremony in the one of the gardens at Tavern on the Green.
Mm-hmm.
The patio adjacent to our room.
It was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, the day was perfect. It was an intimate group, a small wedding.
Well, it was under 100 people.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon. Couldn't have been any more picturesque. It really went
beautiful.
Smoothly. It was unbelievable. We had a what were we standing under
the chuppah.
So they had made up a whole chuppah with the
wedding
white,
canopy
exactly
right?
with the
it
white.
Was really nice.
It was just flowing and beautiful, gorgeous flowers all over the place, and it was a perfect moment.
What was your vision for flowers for the ceremony?
I wanted the flowers to be very, very classy, very nothing too gaudy, nothing too big, nothing unusual. I wanted it to be classic. I wanted it to be roses and hydrangeas and things that were just very pleasing to look at, very soft colors, pinks and greens and things that were very gardeny and very classic.
Okay, and what about your bouquet?
The bouquet was pretty much the same thing. It was mostly like pinks in my bouquet. I had a pink bouquet, and my bridesmaids who were pink had like more white bouquets. So in the pictures, it was kind of a contrast.
Okay. And what about the design of the ceremony itself? Was it a personalized ceremony? Did you guys write vows?
No. We tried to write vows, actually. But what happened was that we thought to ourselves, in that moment, do we really want added pressure of having to write some, to speak on some pre-written, you know, words that we had put together a couple days before? And it was just, you know what? In that moment, we didn't want to have that pressure on us. We know how we feel about each other. It's not something that we had to stress ourselves out over that day to put in the ceremony.
And that's by no means to say that, you know, writing your own vows is in any way inferior or
superior.
I think it's just a personal decision that every couple has to make, and knowing yourself, I think, is the best way to make that decision.
Right.
We knew that it would be too much stress for us, on top of being in front of everybody and getting married, which is, I mean, a very stressful thing to begin with. Very, you know, well, it was wonderful. You know, it's a lot of stress, and we didn't think that having to speak in that moment was the right thing for us.
Great. Well, that's something that couples really do need to consider, because it is such a stressful situation, you know, to maybe, you know, put all of those thoughts and feelings into words and then speak it before everyone is a bit
a bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. Now, let's talk about the reception. You said about 100 guests or so.
100 guests.
What did you do for music?
Music, we went to Hank Lane. We used the Kenny Ford performers, and we loved them. I thought they were fantastic.
Phenomenal.
I thought they really created the exact mood that we asked them for. We said, okay, we want, you know, Billy Joel, Elton John, Frank Sinatra. We want, you know, the boys.
Mm-hmm.
We want, you know, classical, not classical music, but...
Singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
Very easygoing.
We had a piano, drummer, and a guitarist, and
mm-hmm.
they all sang. So it was perfect for us. It really created the mood that we wanted. We didn't have any kind of like late night dance party kind of a wedding. This was Sunday afternoon at Tavern.
Sunday afternoon, right. So you kind of wanted to keep that whole feel.
Yes.
We cut the traditional like disco type songs that we play at the end. You know, when everyone's late at night, we cut that stuff out.
There was no electric slide.
Right.
Very small dance floor. And again, you know, a dance floor sort of surrounded by all the tables, very intimate, and more of a concentration on the speeches and the interpersonal things going on at the wedding than necessarily
Definitely.
Going crazy dancing.
Right.
That's just us.
And that was so was that kind of you know, your thought process, that it was all about the people that you were bringing together?
Without
we
question.
We're not big going out at night people. We're not big, you know, we're not into that. So to have a big dance party is really not us. And I think that's also a very important thing for people to consider, is planning a wedding that's you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone left that wedding saying that was so them, that was so the way that they are. It was very classy. It was very sophisticated. It was Sunday afternoon at Tavern on the Green. It was very mellow. It was low key. It was low stress. It was everyone had a good time.
And
that's what we wanted.
And again, you know, most of our friends who attended the wedding are the type of people who do like to go out and maybe are a little bit more social with the nightlife than the two of us are. But it in no way took away from their enjoyment, because they knew this was the type of wedding
that we should have.
So your guests kind of came away with the feeling that they were really at your wedding,
exactly.
and not just some kind of
exactly.
you know, put together type of event, which I think is really a nice way to leave you know, them feeling
exactly.
that it was about you.
Yes.
Now, I know we were talking earlier about, you know, again, concerning your guests, that you did have wedding favors that
mm-hmm.
you wanted to, you know, your guests to have. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, my husband here, he owns the Hampton Popcorn Company.
Uh-huh.
And we decided to do a very, very personalized Hampton Popcorn favor. And what we did was we took one of our engagement photos that our photographer, we used Brett Matthews out on Long Island. We took one of the engagement photos with our dog in it, and we made a label out of it in our labor-making studio that the Hampton Popcorn Company has. And we put it on the side of one of their little one-quart tins, and it came out beyond expectations. It was so beautiful. It had us. It had our dog, who was part of the ceremony. She carried the rings. And we had a sticker on the top that had our names and the date. And it was perfect. It was the cutest favor. Everyone was amazed by how adorable it was and how personal it was.
And these were out on the tables.
These were out when the guests were leaving.
Okay, it was kind of like a surprise. It wasn't like that you put them out there for everyone to see. It was at the end, and you hit them with it.
It was the perfect party favor. It was perfect.
Everyone is leaving, and obviously everyone knows that I own the Hampton Popcorn Company. So as they're leaving, they see a table full of these beautiful tins of popcorn, and on the top of the tin is a picture of the beautiful bride, the groom, and the little dog that everyone enjoyed watching for the day. And so not only was it something that, again, helped personalize our wedding, but we felt that it was great because this way they take that home with them. Now they have something that they are going to put up on a shelf and forever remember the day.
Right. Eat the popcorn. Long after the popcorn's gone.
Exactly.
Right.
And just leave
that's
the tin
a good
out.
Point.
Somebody told me recently that they actually still have the tin in their kitchen on the counter, and they look at it every once in a while, and I mean, we got so many great, great responses from those party favors. That was definitely one of the highlights for me of the wedding.
Definitely, it was a great
to be able to give that to our guests.
A great way to keep the wedding going in a cool. small little way.
Cool. And we'll have a link to your website in the show notes for our guests, our listeners to see what they can give for their guests. Now, just talk quickly about the honeymoon. Where'd you go?
Hawaii. It was amazing. We went to Kauai and we went to Maui. I could not have asked for for a more perfect honeymoon. That was perfect.
Neither one of us had been to Hawaii, and I mean, it is the most naturally beautiful place on this earth. And we were astonished
by far.
And I think Hawaii is a great place where you can mix the relaxation with a little bit of adventure.
Absolutely.
We focus on relaxation.
but for that reason, as you said, it's just such a great destination for a honeymoon.
You could be lying on the beach or you could be climbing a volcano.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
All in the same day.
Yeah,
that's cool. Now, in thinking back about the wedding itself, anything you would have done differently?
I mean, there's always, very small decisions that could have gone either way, but to be, in the whole, I really felt like it went exactly how I would have wanted it to go. You know, I wasn't one of those kids that, used to buy bride magazines when they were 15, and I never really envisioned the perfect wedding and the perfect dress. I was never like that. So I kind of just played it by ear and made every decision that I could make, the best that I could make it as I went along, and I found that the wedding kind of came together on its own with all the decisions that I made, and I really didn't know how it was going to turn out, and then it ended up being exactly what I wanted in the end.
Great. Now, if you had to give one bit of advice to couples who are in the process of planning their wedding, what would you say?
I would say, for me, the most, and I think Lisa would, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm sure you would agree with me, we made such a point of constantly reminding ourselves throughout the process that you can get carried away with planning a wedding, and it can take away in some way from your actual relationship if you let it. Keep the planning of the party sort of as a realistic goal. Keep it realistic. Don't get carried away with.
You can't be carried away with, at the wedding if you have, the menus and all these little things. We didn't do menus and we didn't do your programs and we didn't do all these little things that I think people don't even remember. Mm. And, if in the moment you get so caught up with having everything, all the stationery matching and, spend thousands and thousands of dollars on stationery and this and that and programs and the right and the flutist and the harpist and things that, we had a pianist. Played the music as I walked down the aisle, and it was perfect. And I can guarantee you there's probably two people that even remember the song that it was. Mm-hmm. And it's like you really cannot get too caught up in every tiny little minuscule little detail, because in the end you're going to drive yourself crazy and it's really going to take away from the process.
Great. Well, perfect advice, Lisa and Matt. We really do appreciate you sharing your story and your planning process with us. And again, you can visit our website, weddingpodcastnetwork.com, and there'll be links to all the things that we were talking about today. If anyone has any questions or comments, you can email us. Our email address is feedback@thewpn.com, or you can call our listener hotline, which is 1-800-882-1259. We'd love to hear from you. You've been listening to the Newlywedcast, only on the Wedding Podcast Network. I'm Robert Allen, and we'll see you next time.